Every time an opportunity presents itself, you will say yes.
So we
can? No?
Yes.
Sweet.
You can make them.
I knew it.
Okay, you guys are not going to regret this.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
All right, back here on The Morning Show, presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System, David Johnston, and my main man, T-Bone, Tyler Head. You like T-Bone or T-Money better?
I'm cool with either
you
one.
You like, okay, either one of those. Jeff calls you T-Money too, doesn't he?
T-Money implies I make good bread, so I guess that's a good one to go with.
Well, I need to come work for Cox Media if that's the case.
Now. Oh, and this other voice here, our buddy Bill Shanks in the studio with us as well. Normally this time we got Bill on the phone. But Bill, having to be in Athens, said, hey, can I come on by? And I was like, are you kidding me?
You have to come by,
yeah. So thank you very much for dropping in on us, Bill, and happy birthday from yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Will tweeted in and says, great morning listening to Bill Shanks in the studio. You should do this more often. I agree.
You should do
this more often.
You know what? I'm up listening to you guys a lot anyway, because I go to my desk and I'll start work whenever I wake up. I need to go walk and exercise, but I'm just I used to do that when I would go walk. I would listen to you guys.
Would get you through your walk.
Yep, and then but I'm usually at my desk working, so I listen to you guys a lot. So hey, anytime, I'll be glad to come on anytime.
Well, we appreciate you. You've been a great not. Just a friend, but a friend and a great part of the show for a long time.
How long have we been doing this?
37 years.
Oh, goodness.
Or is it 137 years?
Was the first time I came on when I had my book, probably?
What year was that?
2005.
Might have been.
Probably 2005 or so.
Might have been.
I think that may have been it. So maybe 13 or 14 years. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
How many times have you signed your name on that thing?
Well, a lot, but I didn't get paid for it. I had a bad publisher. He screwed me and Bobby Dews and so somebody else here in town, I think, got messed with the publisher.
Oh, man.
But you know, it was a good experience. But yeah, and it got me on your radio show, so there you go.
And we do appreciate it. It's been a great friendship.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Funny, a lot of people I talk to that have written books, it's always like, I wrote a book one time and I ain't ever doing it again. So
well, I'd love to, but yeah. I just don't have the time. I would love to. I could write a book about the Bray scandal. I don't know if I'd ever be let in the 404 area code again. I might be in trouble. but it was a great experience. I loved it. But I'm not the kind of – a lot of people can write a book on the side.
Yeah.
Like get home and write
knock
a,
out some
write
stuff.
A page
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I just
–
I
so
stopped
when you
everything.
Do it, you got to dive in head first.
Yeah, I stopped everything I did that year and everything. We had a TV show for 3 years. And I stopped it.
Literally took, not take the year off, but you...
Did that.
Yeah.
2004, that's all I did, was write that book. And it was a great experience, but it was just all-consuming. And it made me admire people who spin out books every couple of years, whether it's about a certain topic or a novel or whatever. It is, that was work. What we're doing is a lot of fun, and don't get us wrong, it's work too. But still, that right there is really a lot of work.
Well, you ain't, we ain't digging ditches.
No.
I always
no.
like to tell people that. But at the same time, you know, we like to have fun and we want to be in here doing this kind of stuff. And, you've loved the Braves even before you were born, I assume.
Yeah, pretty much.
And to be able to be around them and cover them. Although I wouldn't mind hearing more about potentially writing a book about the scandal. That would be good.
I could do that. And I thought about it, and it would probably get headlines, unfortunately, because of some of the things I've heard and would have to follow up on and know. But it was dirty. It was awful. And probably the headlines would come from some stuff with the commissioner that I don't think a lot of people know that I've heard that I don't really like.
Yeah.
But it was a dirty scandal, and they're lucky they're... They got away with what they did, to be honest with you.
Does Coppy go down in history as, how does he fall on this? Because he definitely put things back together.
No doubt.
There's no question. But obviously, being, you know, he's Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose. He's suspended from baseball.
Coppy and I were friends.
Yeah.
In that we talked a pretty good amount. I met him before he became the GM and before all that transition with Frank leaving. And we would talk occasionally. And he was not a bad guy. Mm-hmm. I think Coppy got out of control. And kind of the ego took over. And let me say this. They got called for stuff that teams do a lot,
mm-hmm.
okay? And a lot of teams are doing this on the international market. There were other things domestically that were done, too, that were issues, that were problems, that some of it came out, some of it didn't. But he was not alone.
Right.
That Hart was... Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, that's a
that's
sort
two
of
four-letter words, John Hart.
Well, because Coppy took the fall for him, too. Mm-hmm. And you know, then Terry McGuirk goes and last year at this time did that interview with O'Brien and Schultz with the AJC called Coppy a cancer. Well, the cancer's put you in a position where you had the most dip you've ever had in the history of your franchise. Because John Coppola is the reason why this team is deep as hell. And they are that you know, last week, I was at spring training when I talked to you guys, and when I got home on Sunday, and I'm driving home, I'm thinking, all right, kind of what's my theme from what I saw, and through all the angst about Kimbrel not coming back yet, or for whatever reason, or whatever's going to go on with that, or whatever's going on with the money, which is almost a continuing part of the scandal in my mind, especially with Liberty Media, this team is deep as hell. I mean, there are parts of this team where you say, my word. Now, a lot of it's on paper, but you and I remember 30 years ago when they were rebuilding the last time.
Yeah.
And they had...
Trading Doyle Alexander to get John Smoltz.
Right. But they had drafted Tom Glavine in 84.
Yep.
They had drafted Tommy Green in 85.
Yep.
They had drafted Derek Lilliquist from here in Athens in 87. They had traded for Pete Smith from Philadelphia with the Ozzie Virgil trade. They traded for John Smoltz, and they had Kevin Kaufman. They had Gary Eves, Sid Akins. They had Kevin Blankenship. They had a ton of pitchers, had a lot of quantity. Then they drafted Steve Avery in 1990, and they had more pitching depth, and it was like, oh, my gosh, what have they got here? And people were already saying, could they be like the Baltimore Orioles when those Orioles teams had what?
Four starters and win 20 games.
Right.
Yeah.
And they wound up being better.
Yeah.
They wound up having – And you never did.
That was the crazy thing is that, like, of the guys you just named, no one of them was a bust.
No.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody you just said. Who would have been the closest to being the worst of those guys?
I got Kent Merker drafted in 86. But, I mean, they all had pretty decent careers.
Yeah.
You know, they were all, I mean some of them were used in trades, like Gary Eve was used in a trade.
And I guess Lilliquist to an extent.
Yeah,
although
Lilliquist.
The guy's a pitching coach in the big leagues
now. Oh, yeah, yeah. But Derek.
And Derek was a phenomenal college player.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he was a better hitter probably than pitcher.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He
was
a great
unreal.
Hitter. But they had so many pitchers there. They got more right now. They got more now than they did 30 years ago. Now, again, you can't say they've got a couple of future Hall of Famers in there. I'm not going to say something stupid like that, because if we'd have thought that in 1990, we'd have thought Steve Avery, not Tom Glavine or John Smoltz.
Exactly.
Said, Avery.
It would have been Avery.
Avery.
This is can't-miss lefty.
Yeah, but, I mean, after what I saw last week, it is unbelievable depth that is unparalleled. And I can't imagine anyone else sitting around previewing their season talking about the things the Braves have to talk about right now. Which is great.
Bill Shanks here in the studio with us, and certainly happy to have him. All right, I was obviously consumed yesterday because we were on the road yesterday with Georgia baseball. So what happened to Kevin Gausman yesterday, and what's his situation? He didn't get out of the first inning.
I don't think he's going to be ready for opening day. I think they're going to have Folty and Gausman. Opening day's 2 weeks from today. I mean, look, they've got an off day on Friday, then they've got the Saturday-Sunday game in Philadelphia, then they have the Monday home opener. And then an off day on Tuesday. So the off days early on kind of give them a little wiggle room. But I don't know if he's going to be ready. If he can't get out of the first inning 15 days before opening day, how is he even going to be ready in 3 weeks? Even if they say, all right, can he start that second game of the series on April 3rd against the Cubs? I don't know if he can or not. We're already talking about the fact Folty has got to build up and basically have a spring training. Both of these guys have, you know, spring training's too long, but not for the pitchers because they have to
right.
stretch out and get to the point where they can go five innings and six innings or more. And I don't know how he's going to be ready. So, he, you know, he had a shoulder issue. I don't know how much that had to do with it. I didn't think he looked very good on Friday. Now, someone else said, well, I think he did. But now he's gone and wet the bed again. So, I think there's two starting pitchers that are going to be out to start the season, which is not a problem.
So, is that, that pretty much confirmed that Teron's going to be the opening day starter again?
Yeah, I think he is.
And I know a lot of the fan base isn't thrilled about that. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
You know what? Considering the situation, out of respect, I would do it too. And it's either Newcomb or Teron, obviously, with what's left, with Gossman and Volpe being out. And I don't mind them doing that. And, I mean, we know what Teron is now. He's a number four or
right.
a number five. He's not a number one, but it doesn't matter as much about who starts on opening day. Usually it's about who's ready to start on opening day more than anything now. But, you know, they're going to be fine, and they've got – That's the amazing thing to me is they've got Max Fried, Kyle Wright, which is a surprise, Tuki Toussaint, and we can't leave out Bryce Wilson.
Tell me, and I want to ask you about him too.
I mean, I've left him out, and then the other day he goes and pitches four innings. And
he's
like,
had
God.
Some, yeah, he's been really you good. Know,
it's just nonstop. Of
what's his story?
He was a fourth round pick, a like, football player out of North Carolina.
Yeah, like 4 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
He was in the your boy Ian Anderson, Joy Wentz. And Kyle Muller
sitting on a park bench.
Yeah.
Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson. Thank you. I like that. Yeah. Yes.
And he was the fourth pick out of those four pitchers.
Okay.
And he really had as good a year as any of the other three. The other a couple years ago in Rome, it took off last year. Made that one start in what Pittsburgh or somewhere.
Right.
I believe, and
right.
Did well. And they didn't need him. They brought him back later in the year. But he's knocking on the door. And it's like you're going to send pitchers back to AAA who are ready, and that's the amazing thing.
I mean, that's a good problem to have. So if you had to think right now, those first three games against the Phillies, Teron, Newcomb, and who gets the third? Who's the third guy?
Tukey,
and then the home opener on Monday.
Maybe Max.
And Fried pitch yesterday and. Gave up
I'm a big Max Fried fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and you know, Freddie Freeman came out earlier this spring and said, "My God, that stuff is unbelievable. Curveball's off the charts, fastball 94-95.
Right.
For a lefty to do that, you don't see that very often. So I'm a big Max Fried fan, and he's a smart kid. I interviewed him the other day on Saturday. He's really, really smart. And I just think I wish he could be left alone and make 30 starts. Remember the game he had in St. Louis
in
June last year when he was unbelievable? You know, he got hurt after that, but if he had not gotten hurt, that stupid blister that he keeps on having to do with, he would have had the starts in the rest of the season
right.
in rotation. So I wish he would stay there. And so, you know, they probably can avoid going with a fifth starter. So they probably will send Wright to AAA and then come back on the third, which means Teron would have more than enough rest to pitch the last game against the Cubs. And then it would be a little bit more of a dicey situation. They'd have to use that fifth starter at some point in the Miami series.
But what if the fifth starter's Kyle Wright?
They'd call him up.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I think if Volpe and Gossman are not ready. If
they're not ready to go.
They'd call him. Or maybe Wilson up. They may call Wilson up since he's already on the 40-man. Let him make a start and may wait on Kyle Wright. But here's the problem. if what happens if Kyle Wright goes to AAA – and he does really well, and it's like he's ready. I mean, sometimes guys will go, Tommy Hansen did it, Alex did it, I think, where you are in AAA and like, this is stupid.
Yeah,
need to be
he
in the
needs
big
to be
leagues.
Pitching.
What happens then?
Yeah.
What happens if Volpe and Gossman come back? It's Teron, Newcomb, Volpe, Gossman. Let's say Max is the fifth starter. He's doing well. Tukey's not in the rotation. What are you going to do with him? Bullpen or back to AAA. And Kyle Wright's knocking on the door too. Then Bryce Wilson's pitching well. I mean, this could kind of happen.
And where does Colby Allard fit into this?
Colby Allard probably needs a year in AAA.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
He needs a year, I think, to hone his stuff a little bit. He's probably – I hope they'll leave him alone just to let him really develop a little bit more because he's a soft-tossing lefty. So I'd rather him, my opinion, just leave him down there. Let him learn how to pitch. If he's not going to be a guy who can hit 92, he's going to hit 89, 90, you know, That you know how it is now about velocity.
Oh yeah.
Even for a lefty, so
yeah.
I would rather him kind of be left alone down there. But you got Patrick Weigel,
yep.
And you got Luis Guajara.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
There. And then in Double A, you've got Ian Anderson, your boy, Joey Wentz, Kyle Muller. I mean, those three may be as good or better than even the ones in Triple A. So, I mean, that's at some point they're going to have to make a trade.
I was going to say, so when is that? You just beat me to my next question.
So, all right, I'm going to turn around and ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you say, we got to make a trade, what are you going to trade for?
Well, that's the thing. We're told, and you've broken this down very well, that finances allow, if they're going to do what they say they're going to do, allow them to go get somebody that makes big money.
Right. But let's kind of go around the diamond.
Yeah.
You got a first baseman.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You got a second baseman.
Yep.
You got two shortstops.
Yep.
You got Dansby and Camargo.
Although sometimes they say if you have two shortstops, you don't have any. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's quarterbacks. I'm sorry. That's quarterbacks. All right.
Greg Talley. That's another story. So you got two shortstops. You got Donaldson short term, Austin Riley long term.
Yep.
Outfield, you got Ronald Acuna, Ender Inciarte under contract for 3 more years. You got Nick Markakis short term.
Yep.
You got Christian Pache.
Knocking on the door.
Who's knocking on the door. And you got Drew Waters, let's don't forget about him.
Okay.
Who they say may be a year or a year and a half away.
Okay.
So then you go to the rotation. We know the numbers there are the problem. That's why we're talking about this now. Then you go to the bullpen.
Yep.
All right. So is there a future closer in that mix? Well, Chad Sabatka might be. That's why I'm
He had another rough outing yesterday.
He did. And he if he doesn't get command of his breaking pitches, he's going to be back in AAA. But, all right, that's why I go back to the Kimbrel thing.
To the Kimbrel thing.
If you're going to have to make a trade in the year, it's probably going to be for a reliever.
Right.
For a closer. Why do that, even though you've got the currency to go make a trade, when all you have to do now is pay for Kimbrel, give up a second-round pick, who cares, and get him. And then if you do make that big trade, you're going to make a huge trade for a big-name player because you'll be able to. You should be able to financially. You got $25 more million coming off the books after this year. You know, so no, excuse me. You got $50 million coming more off the books if you count Donaldson this year.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a
What good if he thing. Has a big season?
If he has a good season, they'll re-sign him.
He'll get a multi-year big contract.
3 years, maybe 70.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that, which is right around what he's making now per year. But I could see that happening, which means Austin Riley either better learn how to play in the outfield or he's traded.
Or he gets traded.
One of the two.
Yeah.
And if you trade him and if he does well in AAA, that's a big piece for a trade.
Sure.
So what are you going to trade him for?
Yeah.
A closer? Well, not if you sign Kimbrel. You don't need that.
Right.
So, I mean, these are good problems to have, but it's not like they have needs to go and say, well, we got too much pitching, let's go get a bat. Well, where?
I mean, it sounds like just completely on the surface, not digging too deep, you want to go get a number one starter.
Number one pitcher.
That seems, of everything you just went through,
right.
You've got all this pitching. It's kind of ironic. You got all this pitching, but you need a number one guy.
Like the Astros got with Justin Verlander.
Yes.
Like they went into the August 31st, 2018, 17, and got Justin Verlander.
Right.
And, yeah, I think that's
And that
the
put
one
them over the top.
Right, right. So,
So who is a potential Justin Verlander?
Well, I mean, I think this year, because he's in the last year of his contract, Madison Bumgarner could be in that category.
Okay. You know,
if Madison Bumgarner has a good year for San Francisco and they're not in the race, which I don't think people expect him to be in the race. He could be. He's from North Carolina.
He's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
So he might even be a guy that it would be more than potentially a rental.
Yeah, maybe.
If you wanted to bring him back, yeah.
Yeah. Some say he's lost a little bit, but, I mean, I think he's still Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
Crying out loud.
Right.
Zach Greinke is out there. I'm sure the Diamondbacks wish they could trade him, so that's a possibility for, an ace pitcher. Which, just because you're number one doesn't mean you're an ace. And
I always like to point that out.
Yeah.
It's
very important.
Every team has a number one pitcher. Not every team has an ace.
It's number one in name alone.
Yes. 15 to 20 in the game right now, period. Maybe even not even that many.
Right.
I think that's what you think about. Is there someone out there that – now, Bumgarner would be in rental, so he wouldn't cost a whole lot.
Right.
But still, it's like, who's the star they're going to bring in that big trade where they're going to trade – where they're going to make a McGriff trade,
right?
Like they did in '93 with McGriff, where they trade, and heck, they got away that year without even having to trade Ryan Klesko in that deal. They put in Melvin Yeavis and Donnie Elliott, and
they had a run for several years where they were getting these players. The Braves were making trades, and Bill can go deeper than this I can, but it seemed like they were making these great trades and somehow avoiding giving up their top prospect.
Oh, yeah.
They made several of those trades. Yeah,
that's why they were so successful, right?
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand.
In the Hall of
the great John Schuerholz. Yeah, like you said, they didn't give up Kleskow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was no way you would have thought they would have avoided giving up Kleskow in the Fred. Why San Diego would not have. Kleskow was a Southern Cal guy, SoCal guy, and he was a top. You want to talk about our top prospects in this organization for the whole time they've been in Atlanta? Kleskow was one of the top. He was a huge prospect. You remember that.
He was Brad Kamensk, who actually could play.
Yes.
I'm telling you,
brought the show down to a whole bad level, David Brad Johnson.
Let me ask you this. Is Brad Kamensk one of the top prospects the Braves have ever had?
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. He's in the top five.
I wasn't saying Kleskow was Brad Kamensk. I was saying just as a prospect,
yes,
he was Brad Kamensk.
Yeah.
But then Kleskow was actually a good player.
Yeah. When Hank Aaron says that Brad Kamensk may be me, and he turns out to be Tommy Aaron.
And what year was that?
83, 84.
Yeah, he was in the 80s.
I'll have to
there was a lot of funny things that went on then.
I'll have to ask my dad's opinion on that.
There's a good book out there that tells that story called Scout's Honor. Go read that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you might even be sitting in the room with somebody that wrote it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told that story. I interviewed Brad Kamensk because that was uncomfortable.
Was that awkward?
Yes.
How was he?
Why did you suck? I had to tactfully. Thank God UGA's journalism school taught me how to ask tactful questions. So
exactly.
Where did you talk to him?
Just over the phone.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, okay.
And he was, he was fine. He was managing in the minor leagues then. But he was.
Do you manage better than you can? Play.
It's a lot of dumb do.
Yeah, but it wasn't Brad Kamensk's fault that he wasn't the player everybody wanted him to be. You know,
they traded Brett Butler because of him. Remember that?
Mm.
Yeah. See, I just went even deeper. Yeah.
Now I understand. Now we're talking about guys named Rick Behenna.
Yeah.
And Brooke Jacoby.
Years ago. Yeah.
What's that?
Behenna died.
Did he really?
He lived in Noonan, and I don't know what happened to him. But
you mention it, I think it's starting to ring a bell. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
I don't know. It must have been cancer or something.
Yeah.
I think he got sick and died. But
wow.
But, yeah. But
Rick Behenna, Brooke Jacoby was
good.
He was a good third baseman for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then Brett Butler, all for a guy that threw a perfect game one time.
Yep, one time in 81, and now he's selling used cars in Atlanta.
Is he really?
I think he is. I think he's come back for a couple of their alumni thing. I think nobody goes and gets his autograph. He just sits there because nobody wants to talk to him. It's like, you're Lynn Barker. We've heard about you. You're a four-letter word. We don't want to deal with you. You're Lynn Barker. You traded Brett Butler. Brett Butler's still
Just imagine a balloon. You're holding a balloon. You take a pin and just pop it.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like when the Braves traded Brett Butler.
Oh, my God. Okay. It was heartbreaking because – and now here's – I don't want to get too long on this, but it was Lynn Barker to Atlanta. They did that deal because they had tried to get Rick Honeycutt from the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Honeycutt was traded to the Dodgers for Dave Stewart and a couple others. And so Ted Turner panicked. Ted Turner – when he was involved and cognizant of what was going on and not married to Jane yet. And he panicked, and he was the one making all the Braves trades.
Yeah.
And he wanted a pitcher. And so they struck out on the Honeycutt, went to Cleveland, wanted to get Lynn Barker, who hadn't done anything since his perfect game in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
This is the summer of 83.
Okay.
And they first asked for Brad Kamensk. Oh, no. God, no. We can't trade Brad Kamensk. He's the next Hank Aaron.
He says Hank Aaron.
His swing, if you take Jason Hayward's bad swing, put him on the right side, and you act like someone's chopping wood, that was Brad Kamensk. Am I right?
Yeah.
He chopped wood. I mean, he didn't have a swing that went through the zone. It went down the zone.
Down and at an angle.
But he hit home runs in AAA. But they didn't trade Kamensk, so they gave up three players to be named later. Well, word got out that who the three players to be named later were. And for like a day and a half, they thought that Brett Butler, who at that point was the Braves left fielder and just doing great and becoming a heartthrob in Atlanta. People loved him.
I mean, think about it. He's popular. He's got a name that almost sounds like Rhett Butler.
Hello.
He's Brett Butler.
I didn't even think about that.
Miss.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
And this is 1983, so Atlanta wasn't what Atlanta is now.
Yeah, they still had a teepee in the stands.
Right, yeah, yeah. We weren't politically correct.
Times were different.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was great. But anyway, so they almost made Butler go to Cleveland immediately.
Uh-huh.
And Turner had to pay like $100,000 as a fine to keep Butler for the rest of the year. But it was awful. I mean, And after that, the Braves fell apart because they were going to lose their left fielder. And they hoped to put Brad Komitsky in left field the next year, and they wound up with Terry Harper.
And you got to remember, like, basically between 1970 and 1990, the Braves were terrible.
Yeah,
and this
right.
was that one small little stretch where they were good. They didn't know how to be good.
Yeah.
They didn't know
what to do with their hands,
exactly.
basically.
They knew how to be bad.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to be good.
Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
Weird time.
That was
But
definitely.
They were America's team. And everybody loved them in Montana.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were very popular in Butte.
Yes.
In Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah, they were.
They loved the Braves.
They did.
Yakima, Washington. Well, I guess maybe they started liking the Mariners then.
Yeah,
but,
probably.
You know, still. Anyway, our man Bill Shanks is here in the studio with us. And we will take a quick break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.